Well, so fearful were the ancient Chinese of their enemies on the north that they built the Great Wall of China. Many of you heard of that. It's called one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was so high that no one could climb over it, and so thick that nothing could break it down. So they settled back to enjoy their security in the wall. But during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded three times. Not once did the enemy break down the wall or climb over its top. Each time, they bribed a gatekeeper and marched right through the gates. According to the historians, the Chinese were so busy relying upon the walls of stone that they forgot to teach integrity to their children. So that great wall is not so different from some of the walls that many of us build around our lives. And on the surface, everything looks fine, safe, and secure on the surface, on the outside. But the inside, hidden behind the wall, things can look considerably different. And truthfully, it's the inside of a person that really matters. And living life hurts and offenses come, and causing so many to put up walls that seemingly protect from the pain. And the end result is keeping others from getting too close. And those are those people, some that can build these walls that look good on the outside. However, it's when you're able to peer around the wall, if you can see past it, the truth is revealed, exposing the reality of the inner man. And we may not always see behind these walls, even walls we may erect ourselves, but God certainly does. We know the story in 1 Samuel when David was being chosen by God to serve as king. They brought all these candidates, and he didn't seem like the least likely candidate. David was the least likely candidate by his appearance on the surface. 1 Samuel tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He looks at our heart. I suspect all of us have had x-rays at one time or another, several x-rays probably over the years. You go to the doctor and things may look okay on the outside, but the inside tells a true story. The doctor orders the x-ray, and by looking on the inside, he can tell what is wrong and go about helping us get well. There are those that on the outside, they look beautiful. Yet they are mean, selfish, hateful, hurting on the inside. There are those that may not be so beautiful to look at, but they're inwardly, they're loving and gentle and kind. And we tend to look at the outside, not the characteristics of people. Perhaps the beauty of our Christian faith is that God desires to develop our inner man, the inside of us, to reflect his character and his godliness. Of course, it happens over time. It's not automatic, but as you yield to Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, your character begins to get shaped like his. There's a lot to be said about developing godliness, both in character and integrity. How we handle difficulties, how we respond to one another, how we handle our word. I mean, it's not a short list when it comes to character and integrity, how we do things. And when we think of these kind of issues, we think of our behavior, our response to each other and our actions, situations, and well, we should. But there's a side of character, integrity, and sincerity that we probably overlook. We may overlook it, but certainly God does not. Some time ago, I was reading the Bible just for my personal reading, and I saw something that I had not noticed before. You've surely all done that. You've read certain sections over and over, and all of a sudden you see something, and it's like, yeah, I never saw that. It struck me, and I began to ponder it. I was reading where Joshua was establishing a covenant with the people. By now, God had placed them in the promised land. All the battles have been fought up to date. The land is theirs. God has fulfilled his promise to them. They're in the promised land. Chapter before this final chapter of Joshua, Joshua gives his farewell address. The chapter we're going to look at briefly this morning, at the end of the chapter, Joshua dies. But he's standing before the people, and he recites a history lesson of all that God had done for them. He speaks of how God had led them out of Egypt, how he reminds them all the battles that God had helped them win and all the enemies that God had defeated. He speaks all these things, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." He's quoting God. He's saying, this is what God says. And he's saying, what I'm going to say is directly from the heart of a God. And that's important stuff. Because I'm telling you what God wants to say. And we pick it up in Joshua 24, verse 13 and following. Thus saith the Lord, if you will, I have given you land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. Ye are the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. You most likely noticed Joshua's famous quote, for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a well-known quote, should be. We've seen it on plaques, I believe, years and years ago. We had a plaque like that in our house. Choose for this day whom you will serve, and for me, my household, we will serve the Lord. I think it's a wonderful, great statement. A decision we make, whether we realize it or not, daily. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's really a lifelong choice when you accept Christ. Choose whom you serve, and a choice really we make every day. And I love that verse, and it's a great verse, but that's not the one that stood out to me. I mean, you know, I liked it, I read it, it always speaks to me, but there's something else that stuck out to me that day. It's the preceding verse. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt serve the Lord. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Can you hear the character and integrity in that? How we're to serve God in sincerity and truth. It's coming from the heart of God, how he wants us to serve him. And when Joshua said the word sincerity, the word he used means entirely, literally or figuratively, morally. It means integrity, it means truth, it means without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, and defiled, upright, and whole. That's quite a list, if you will, of the integrity how we are to serve God. And we may work on developing godliness, character, and integrity. We may strive to be known for these things, and well, we should. Our quest can be sincere. But there's a foundation that we must establish before we ever really truly begin. Without that foundation, our lives can look like the Great Wall. Looks good on the outside, but we're in grave danger without true integrity. Over the years, as I was a contractor for many years, I built a lot of projects, and when you're done with a project, everyone looks at the finished result, myself included. We just do. You look around here, the projects we did, building, and you look at it, and it's nice. You see it, but few have ever considered the foundation. I remember the foundations. I remember taking time and establishing accurate depths and accurate footers and pouring concrete at the very beginning. I've often said that a good contractor, when he's building the foundation, is thinking about trim. Because if the foundation isn't right, nothing's good after that. If the foundation isn't straight and true, then everything struggles with the whole project after. The foundation is important. In our quest for godliness, our foundation must start with God and how we serve him. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. We may say we're serving God, but he wants us to serve him in sincerity and truth. Over the years, I've seen so many people that look good on the outside, seemed like sincere believers, seemed sold out to God, only to fail miserably over time. I've seen people walk away from God. I've seen far too many pastors fail in their morality. And it's far easier than you think. We live in a constant struggle between the wants of the flesh and the call of the Holy Spirit. All of us do. If we're not careful, we'll fool ourselves. We'll never fool God. God declares to you and me this day to serve him in sincerity and truth. So perhaps the first question we should have is, What is it to serve God in sincerity and truth? What does it mean? And to begin with, I mean, you start with just honestly serving God. It starts with each day that you decide to choose Him. You choose to serve Him and not your flesh. And you will do so honestly with where you're at and what you're struggling with. And to be honest with God is to admit your weakness. When we look at the word sincerity, we see the words perfection and integrity and wholeness, and we're thinking, we can't quite meet that. But honestly says, this is where I'm working towards, and here's my weaknesses, here's my failures, and I want to acknowledge those and work past those and be overcome them. And if we try to serve God in our own strength, we do it at times, but we really won't get far. We need God. Even in serving Him, we need God to serve Him. I want to think about David for a few moments this morning. Consider David. Acts calls him a man after God's own heart. David accomplished great things for God. Fascinating study. He had great failures before God. But David was honest with God. And all of his failures and all of his accomplishments and all the things that he did, God said, he's a man after my own heart. He knew that he needed to be honest with God. He knew he needed God in order to serve Him. In his failures, he was honest before God. He declared his need of God's restoration. He didn't put up these false walls that hid his weaknesses before God. He worked at serving God in sincerity and truth. I think we'd all love to be considered a man or woman that God says we're after His own heart. Samuel told Saul, the Lord has sought for a man after His own heart, and said Saul had failed. God is looking for sincere people to worship Him, that He would look at you or me and say, this is a man and woman after my own heart. David was faithful to repent. It may have taken him longer at times and other times than it should have, but he came around to repentance, and that's sincerity and honesty. But David's relationship went so much farther than repentance. As important as repentance, that's part of the foundation, but it went deeper. David loved the Word of God. Many believe that David wrote Psalm 119. There are some that dispute that, but many believe he did. David wrote a lot of Psalms. In Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love your law, I meditated on it all day long. How I love the Scripture, I think about it all the time. Here in other scriptures reveal that David loved God's Word. And the best way to find love for God's Word is to spend time in it, to discipline yourself to do so, and you'll find over time you love your Word. And I have many that have said, I struggle with the Word, I don't have time for it, or I don't quite get it, and just spend time in it. Get a study Bible if it helps you. Just do something that, spending a few moments at least every day, and you'll develop a desire and a hunger for His Word. And to love God's Word is to be submitted to it as well. That's the meditating part. Not I love reading it and I feel good about it and aren't I something, but to say, I've thought about this Scripture. Not that I get so many chapters today, but I read this verse and I pondered it. I thought about it. I meditated. What does it mean in my life? How do I apply this in my life? Proclaiming faith in Christ and living outside of His Word is not serving Him in sincerity and truth. Now, we all have a walk. We all are at different places in our walk. We're not saying you need to walk in perfection today, but we need to grow and walk in sincerity and truth in serving our God. Psalm 1, it's a beautiful psalm. Verse 1 and following, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Promises of just loving God and being in God's Word and allowing the Word to direct your life. We get in trouble when we set the world standard for prosperity. And when we do that, we lose far more than we gain. We look at what the world calls prosperity and we say, that's what I want. To be noticed, to be recognized by the world. And God says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, not what the world views. Delights in the law of God. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, constantly being refreshed, constantly being nourished. And bring forth your fruit in season, and your leaf won't wither, and you'll prosper in the things you set your hand to. You'll prosper in your family. You'll prosper in your relationships. Things that matter. How many of you are familiar with the game racquetball? Quite a few of you. That was popular 70s, 80s. I remember belonging to several clubs. It's a great game, great demanding game. Several courts in the Cleveland area. There's still some around. It's quite popular, and it's still played today professionally. And it's not on TV as much, and you don't see it, but it's a great game. And there's a name that's recognized in the professional arena, Ruben Gonzalez. A few years back, at the age of 60, he was still competing in a quite competitive way and in a very demanding game. This is him up here at 60 years old. Early on in his career, he had made the cover of National Racquetball. It's a magazine for racquetball, and simply because he stunned the sports world with his integrity. 1985, that's him on the cover. Gonzalez was in the final match of his first professional racquetball tournament. He was playing the perennial champions for his first shot at victory on the pro circuit. At match point in the fifth and final game, Gonzalez made a super kill shot into the front corner to win the tournament. The referee called it good when the linemen confirmed the shot was a winner. But after a moment's hesitation, Gonzalez turned and declared that his shot had skipped into the wall, hitting the floor first. As a result, the serve went to his opponent, who went on to win the match. Gonzalez walked off the court, and everybody was stunned. So much so, the next issue of National Racquetball magazine featured Gonzalez on its cover. The lead editorial searched and questioned for an explanation for the first ever occurrence on the professional racquetball circuit. Who could ever imagine it in any sport or endeavor? Here was a player with everything officially in his favor, victory in his grasp, who disqualifies himself at match point and loses. When asked why he did it, Gonzalez replied this: "It was the only thing I could do to maintain my integrity." Wow. He was threatened with losing what he wanted so much and had worked so hard for, but his choice revealed his inner man, who he was. His inner man was found to be honest and with unquestionable integrity. Gonzalez valued what the world does not, so much so that the world stood up and took notice. You would think everybody should say, well, that's what you would do. His values were more important than winning. Anybody knows that a competitive person, to a competitive person, winning is everything. We can claim to love God's word, but our actions always speak louder than our words. He could have accepted the coveted victory, only he'd have to live with the knowledge that he had cheated to get it. He knew the shot that nobody else saw. And what's interesting is he didn't have but a couple seconds to make the decision. He could play a little more and think about it. He had to make that decision now, and that's what happens to our life sometimes, these decisions we need to make now. And obviously his integrity had been developed over time. We may fool others with our walk. We may fool ourselves. We're never going to fool God. He wants us to serve him in sincerity and integrity. And serving God in sincerity and truth, recognize that we'll never fool God. David loves God's word, and David loved to pray. Psalm 116, verse 1 and following. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Isn't that the great attitude to have about prayer? I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He hears my pleading for mercy. He bends his ear to listen. As long as I have breath, I will be praying. The more time you spend with God in his word and in prayer, the more you will love God, that you'll love the Lord for who he is and what he does. And partly because over time you become aware of God is listening. He is answering your prayers. I just wish he'd answer them the way I give them, tell them to all the time. I find sometimes he answers them not in the way I want to, but he's still answering them. How many times have I told you over the years that most of our prayers are just giving God advice, right? But he does hear, he does answer, he does reassure. And as with every other part of your relationship with God, your prayer must be one of sincerity and truth. All of us have been fooled at one time or another. We've been manipulated by clever speech from someone. We got hooked and pulled in, and what they're saying sounds good as what we want to hear, only to find out later what they told you was not truthful. And their motivation was to get what they wanted. We hate when we feel it, and we trick like that. And if our prayer life is always just, give me, Lord, we see prayer as only getting from God, then we're not being truthful. That's a one-sided prayer. I mean, we're to come to God in all things, and we're to seek him for the things we need. But if that's all we're going to God for, that's not much of a relationship. God will see right through that. No different if you knew somebody that was always wanting something from you, always after something, but never really giving, never wanting a sincere relationship. You see right through it. Our conversations with God, which is prayer, need to be sincere, honest, and truthful, even when the truth hurts. Because God draws near the truth. We want to feel God's presence. We want to be aware of God. We want to know that God's aware of us. And we need to remember that God draws near to the truth. David penned Psalm 145 as well, and verse 18 said, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him in truth." I mean, that's no fake facade. That's no phoniness. That's calling on God in sincerity and honesty. And he's near to you. How many of you desire God's presence? How many of you want to be deeply aware of God in your life? For wisdom, for direction, just for his presence, for wholeness. We come to him in truth. Father, this is what I've struggled with. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm lacking, but I love you, Lord, and I need more of you, and I don't want this in my life. David, a man after God's own heart, loved God's word, loved to pray, and he loved to praise God. He penned many of the Psalms, and quite a few of them became worship songs of their day. We think of them just as Psalms, and historians will tell you that many of the times when the ancients got together, these were worship songs. This was their song list, if you will, their hymn book. And David found the attributes of God praiseworthy, worthy to be penned, and he proclaimed them in praise and worship. He writes in Psalm 104, "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." Here's a guy that's going to pray as long as he has breath. He's going to praise God as long as he lives. Is that your confession this morning? Whatever God allows you in your life, whatever comes down your path in your life, how many more years of life God gives you, are you going to be prayerful? Are you going to be truthful? Are you going to be worshipers? Are you going to be in the Word? Because that's the path to beginning to serve God sincerely and truth. And David wasn't going to wait till he got to heaven to praise God. He said, "No, I'm starting here and now. I'm not going to praise him when I'm... I think when you get in heaven, it's going to be easy to praise God. Can't you imagine? I mean, you're going to be in unfiltered glory. I don't have words to express what that would be like. You're going to stand before God in unfiltered glory, and it's going to be so easy to praise him, to be caught up in the beauty of the worshiping of the surrounding saints and the angels. I can't even imagine what that would be like. And that'll be great to do that, but God wants to hear that same heart and same praise in the ugliness of this world and the challenge of today and the fears and the uncertainties and the sicknesses and the times where you believe in God for the very best, to so say, "I will praise my God." You know, we can come in here and mouth words of the songs we sing during worship, and I thank God for the worship team. Man, it sounds so much better when I worship him during the week. God doesn't know the difference in my life. He just loves to hear us worship, you know, but the worship team, they're faithful. They come in here and they practice and they work at it and they capture this presence of God that helps start a morning. I thank him for it. We can come in here and mouth the words You can sing songs. You can sing along, put the great, you know, famous, your favorite Christian radio station on, or a CD or MP3 in your car, and you can sing to the worship, and that's all good, and you should be doing that. But the question is, are they more than words to you? Do you like the tune? Is that what it is? I mean, or are they something that captures your heart? When you serve God in sincerity and truth, you will worship Him in the same manner in sincerity and truth. As you draw near to Him, as you submit to His will, you will find Him more than praiseworthy. God is looking for sincere relationships. He desires your own heart. He responds with His whole heart. He gives everything He's got. God is fully committed to you and to me. Jesus provided us with, I think, wonderful insight. You find it in, there it is, John 4:23. Jesus said, "But the hour is coming, and now is." This is the time when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. How many times I've sought God, and if I just remember this verse, He's seeking you for those that worship Him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. That's the only really worship that He recognizes. Sincerity and honesty, not falsehood. Prophet Isaiah revealed the heart of God in this verse in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that doesn't mean that, because if we're honest, we've all done this. We're in here in worship, and worship is really good, and you're worshiping, you got your hands up, and your mind is thinking about something else. You've all been there. Your head's somewhere else. It's like, and all of a sudden you catch yourself. I'm not saying I ever did that. Maybe it happened. We all did. That's not what that means. But it means that those times when we come to God and worship, you're honoring Him with your lips, but your heart is not serving Him. You're just going through the motions. That's that wall, that's that outside facade that looks good. Jesus never wanted vain religion. He wants us to serve Him and discerning truth. When I read that, I thought, wow, how to serve God? Sincerity. From that, everything else will flow. It's the very beginning. It's the foundation. From that, your life will begin to reflect the heart of God. From that is where your character and integrity will develop and grow. Allow me to read this story that I came across some time ago. It's interesting. A person writes, "Let me take you back a couple of years. Come with me as we relearn a lesson, one that has stuck with me in my present memory and inspires me yet." He says, "I don't remember the exact conversation, but bear with me as I simply supply something that would sound normal. We walk into Elida Road Hardware, an old-fashioned hardware store. No automatic door, not a computer in the building, nothing unusual about the day or the fact that we go to this store. It's one I go into fairly often. As we enter the door, two sounds greet us, the sleigh bells of yesteryear, the ones that make that sweet, peaceful tinkle as we open the door. The other sound is an electronic beeper that alerts Andy of our presence. "Good afternoon, Ryan," comes a cheerful acknowledgement. Andy Bianco is a very friendly sort of proprietor. He is a medium build and height, we'll say about 50, and a smile on his face welcomes us. We walk across the old wood floor, devoid of stain or varnish, worn smooth, with its squeaky spots and uneven joints. Andy asks what he can help us with. I tell him we're looking for a spring, and he patiently replies, "I carry lots of springs. You're going to have to be a little more specific." It beats me what they're called, just a spring for an old-fashioned screen door. He goes, "That's it, a screen door spring, right down here." And we turn to where he's pointing, and sure enough, there they are. And he knows the store and his products. That's why I come here. instead of mire. Service can't be beat. The price, yes, but service and satisfaction, no. I pick one up, found the corner, a keg of peanuts sits beside the counter and beside it another for the holes. Let me know when Lowe's does that. Covering the counter is a piece of plexiglass, and under it, all manner of business cards. Hey, got a card? Put one under here. Free advertising space. Thanks, Andy, but I already have one. See you over here. Well, I'll be you do. He figures up the price, does the math in his head. $1.88 with Uncle Sam's share comes to $1.99. To which I reply, put it on Pop's account. He nods and smiles, remembering that this is the third time this week that received that verdict. Good old Pop's account, he declares. Chuckles. I don't know what you boys would do without Pop's account. He hands me the ticket, and I sign it, and I ask rhetorically, you really trust my signature? His reply startles, yet gladdens me. When I can't trust Jerry Hoover's boys, I can't trust nobody. We leave, and the brain immediately starts to forget things in order of importance, but what Andy Bianco said that day rang in my ears. And it rings in my ears today. That's a tall order to live up to. It's a high standard of integrity. My father made a reputation for that name, and I get to enjoy the benefits thereof. But by the same token, I must maintain that reputation, and that's serious business. Your Heavenly Father has a high standard of integrity, sincerity, and truth, and we get to enjoy the benefits of that. We come to God where there is no shadow of turning. We come to God knowing He's sincere, He's truthful, He's honest, He's all those things. And we're so grateful for that relationship, but we must remember we got to maintain that reputation. We're called to be likewise. God's calling you and me to serve Him in sincerity and truth, and it really begins today. All He's doing is asking you to reflect His nature, to learn of His nature, and to become more like Him on a daily basis. And we can rejoice that He responds to us in exactly the same way, that He comes to us with sincerity and truth. Then we come to God, we know the response we're going to get, a holy God, a righteous God, a pure God that's full of sincerity and truth and integrity. Let the worship team come forward. You know, we can be confident that's what happens when we come to God, and we only need to remember the words of Jesus. Famous words, if you will. So much more than just a sign or a placard. Jesus said to this person, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When we come to God through the finished work of Jesus. When we do that, we find absolute truth and absolute life. I am the way and I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is truth. This absolute standard of integrity. When we live our lives submitted to God in sincerity and truth and integrity, we can only draw closer to Him in every way. Earlier, we spoke about getting an X-ray to reveal what's happening inside. I have a homework lesson for you this week. Spend time with God daily. Spend time in His Word daily. Spend time in prayer daily. And ask God as you're spending time with Him to spiritually X-ray your heart. Then ask Him to reveal the results to you. Rejoice in the good things and take to heart the things you need to work on. Say, Father, I want a spiritual X-ray. I want sincerity and truth in our relationship. I don't want a false wall. I don't want this fool myself or others. I want the truth. As a matter of fact, the old expression, don't put off for tomorrow what you can mean with today, as we stand to worship God, ask Jesus for your first X-ray. Stand with me this morning and let's worship our God together. And as you seek God, ask Him to begin speaking to your heart. Spend the week doing that. I guarantee you'll be glad you did. Let's worship God.